Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Is Mo joining us from Skype in 2006?
Is it just really that bad? Like it's
really bad.
I don't have an answer for you. I don't know what I can do. I'm on
this. You look like a bad hologram from a late 90s movie.
Oh, nice. Which you're the movie expert. Which one do you have?
It's probably Johnny Mnemonic, if I'm being honest. Like it's probably like
something. Oh, like that hurts. Yeah. All right.
Definitely one of the bad Keanu ones. No, it's actually not clear enough for Lawnmower Man, Dave. It's
keeping this all in.
Leave all this in. Yeah. Yeah, the original Trump. Not the one with Olivia Wilde.
First day and age.
Or Olivia Munn? I don't know. One of those Olivias were.
It was Wilde, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. And her real last name is Cockburn. So, all right, let's get this going. Welcome to the Basketball.
Wait, what?
Olivia Wilde's real last name is Cockburn.
This is real?
This is real.
Jay look doesn't listen to Cinephobe.
Look it up,
Jay,
man.
Jay doesn't listen to Cinephobe.
Look, I'll do it right. Leave all this in. Olivia Wilde, born Olivia Jane Cockburn.
Yeah. Is it Coburn?
We shouldn't even talk about anything
it's
else
like,
today.
Like Kofi Coburn?
No, it's C-O-C-K-B-U-R-N.
Cockburn. So is Kofi Coburn.
What?
The Illinois, former Illinois center.
That's not Coburn, though. That's Cockburn.
That's cool.
I'm gonna apologize for everybody because this is what led us down this road is my internet.
This is a Christian Braun situation. You don't get just to like tell us your name is spelled one way, but it's pronounced another. I don't like it's Christian Braun. It's not Christian Brown. I refuse. I will never call him Christian Brown until he changes the spelling of his name. Leave all this in. This is a good cold open right here.
Kofi Coburn.
The disaster. Okay.
Olivia Jane Cockburn. Yeah. What a name.
Yeah. Known professionally as Olivia Wilde.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh. This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
Yeah. With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basketball Edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm your host, Zach Harper. We got Jake King. We got Mo Dakhil. We got Trevon Edwards. We got Dave DeFore producing. We can't even be off the rails. We got no rails right now. Obviously, talking about the big story in the NBA. Everyone's talking about it. It's the Bucks hiring Adrian Griffin. That's the lead story for today. No offense, Bucks fans. Look, he's highly respected. He'll probably be good or maybe he won't be. I don't know. But we're not going to break that down. You can go check out any of the coverage from Eric Name for that. We're talking one thing and one thing only. It's game 7. The Boston Celtics have done what only 3 other teams in NBA history have done before, and that is force a game 7 when going down 0-3 in a playoff series.
Last ones to do it were the Blazers forced a game seven against the Dallas Mavericks. We had the 1994 Nuggets force one against the Jazz in their magical run. And then what was it? Rochester, the Knicks forced against Rochester in like 1951. I think those are the only three. Game seven has never been won before, but ever since game four happened, everybody's convinced that the Heat are going to be the first ones in history to lose this series after going up 3-0. I refuse to believe it's going to happen until it happens. Although that's not true. I was hoping it would happen last year when the Raptors were down 0-3, because I thought that was the funniest possibility of Doc Rivers, James Harden, team being the first team to blow an 0-3 lead. I will always refuse to believe it's going to happen until I actually see it. Like, this isn't even a Heat thing. This is just, I don't believe that it's going to be completed because teams are 0-150 when doing it. But Jay, you were there. The Celtics blow up, like, the last 2 minutes for there were bad.
would have been such a bad loss. It would have been an epic collapse. Meltdown.
Yeah,
I would have blamed that shit on Top Golf.
You can't play that on Top Golf. Come on.
I read the story. I read the material. I read the Athletic, man. Yeah. So
make sure you subscribe. And then Derek White out of nowhere, like Max Strus doesn't box out. He loses the inbounder. Derek White flies in there. Here's the thing that I was really bothering me last night, and thankfully I was too drunk to tweet about it and tweet back a bit. I could not stand the hall monitoring of, well, they took, you know, they put 0.9 or 0.4 on, and that's the difference of what, blah, blah, blah. Yes, but we can't assume that things happen in a vacuum, right? So yeah, if they have 2.6 or 2.1 or whatever, the Celtics still could have won that. Then maybe Marcus Smart, you know, makes the shot or something, or they get it to someone else. Like, I just hate the kind of like hand wringing over, oh, well, this amount of clock time, box out and it's not an issue. Like, all you have to do if you're Max Strus is box out and it's not an issue. And so, Jay, like, how much did your game story change in about 30 seconds?
Thank God we don't have hard deadlines.
I know, man. Athletic. That would have been effed.
Because for the people with hard deadlines, that was just rip up your whole story, write it all again,
yeah,
and then do it all over again. Because first the Jimmy thing happened. And so that's when I'm sure writers are like, I can't believe this happened.
Horrible,
I can't believe I got
horrible game.
This
and he gets a foul on a three-pointer, and makes all three. Like, this is the hero's journey, right? Like,
by the way, there was never any doubt Jimmy was going to make all three of those.
Oh, no.
There was not one person in the world who thought he might.
There was this dude stressed out of his mind. He's like a Lakers fan, but he's such a Lakers fan that he's just like anti-Boston, right? So he's like, he's rooting his ass off. He is screaming at Jimmy Butler, what are you doing throughout this game? Like, just next to me at the bar. No idea who this guy is. He keeps trying to like strike a conversation. I'm like, buddy, I'm just here to drink and watch the game. I don't want to get into this, like, whatever. But the one time I engaged with him, he's like, oh man, we just need Jimmy to make two of these. I was like, he's gonna make all three. Like, it's like there's no doubt in my mind Jimmy Butler's going to make all three.
Have you ever witnessed Jimmy Butler in any type of situation like that? He was going to make them all, and they were never going to be close to missing. And of course, he made them all. And the Heat decided to take away Jason Tatum, which turned out to be
that's the play.
They decided to live
with him shooting that shit, man. I ain't gonna lie.
Had him made a three all game. But it's, I mean, in retrospect, it's like, sure. But so many things had to go right for that putback to get in time. Like,
I watched
Marcus
that play.
Smart released that so quickly. He released it so quickly. Like, he just spun into his shot, didn't really set himself. He said he had it in mind that they didn't get a shot off against Philly late in that game, and he wanted to give them a chance to not just get the first shot off, but get a second chance opportunity. Then the ball bounced directly to Derek White,
who had perfectly
who at first popped out.
It was all perfect
to the corner three, and then dashed toward the bucket. Max Strus like hustled back to him, but was a little bit too late. It was so many things had to go right. Let me explain just for that to happen.
Everybody, even including myself, was on Max Strus. That was Bam's man. The switch, he was supposed to pass him off to, he was supposed to pass the big off to he's supposed to pass Al over to Max because they chased on the double for to get Tatum. So he's way out of reach. He's all the way at the three-point line. There's no recovery unless he's like he's Flash. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So you have to pass off the closest man. Bam is ball me man. He has to go down, check, box.
Everybody's watching though, right? Like everyone needs to go. Like that's got to be five.
You gotta find
boards,
a man.
Man. Yeah.
Ball me man.
Everybody's gotta crash. Everybody's gotta crash. Even the weak side. Was it Caleb Martin on the weak side? Who was on the weak side? Somebody there's gotta come crashing.
I think it was Caleb.
In. You just can't that was just unbelievable. And Jason Tatum was wide open, but Jimmy Butler didn't even box him out.
Yeah, if it had gone the other if it had bounced the other way, Jason Tatum might have actually put it back in.
I think the thing with the shot, like the Heat did the right thing. They got the like Marcus Smart's taking a game winner. That's 100%. That's the best outcome you can have if you're the Heat that isn't a turnover, right? It's just then you got to rebound. Like you gotta go like just go grab the ball. That's all it is. It felt very very Heat Spurs.
My only quibble is just the putting Max Strus to double off Tatum. It makes it such an easy pass for Derek White too smart when you just nobody guarding the inbounder. In these situations, they have no timeouts. You got to put somebody on the ball, I think, and just make it hard for the passer. That was an easy play for Derek White to just inbound it to Marcus Smart, and it was a perfect catch so that Smart was able to just turn and go right into it and get that shot off so fast. Like, to me, that's just like my biggest quibble. Otherwise, shit happens. Like, there's nothing else you can do.
Talk about Duncan Robinson's two open looks?
Oh, dude, someone gave me shit over this. Like, oh, yeah, you knew this was good. This first, because he had that one like near the logo, right? Hit that one near the logo, like he just caught, fired that thing, knocks it down. He's fired up, and I'm in a group chat with some Miami people. I'm like, okay, so you can rely on Duncan, Gabe, and Caleb right now. Like those guys look like they're ready for it. Jimmy was struggling big time. Bam was afraid of the ball, like you know, like but those guys like had the guts, right? And then when he had that, the first of the two open looks they missed. He hesitates. He takes that dumbass gather dribble, which I cannot fucking stand when shooters do that. Like, just let that thing fly. And as soon as he hesitated, I knew it was I knew it was gonna miss, and I knew you couldn't rely on him the rest of the game. Like, just for that reason, Trey. Like, I just think like the shooter. Like I said this on Twitter, I was like, shooters let it fly. Like shooters shoot, they don't like check the barometer. Like you like, and he just he checked it and. I hate that shit, man. I really hate that because he was like having a good redemption moment. And then at that point, like he psyched himself out. And this is a dude who is admitted to, you know, who is it, Ramona Shelburne, like that he suffers from imposter syndrome and all this. Like that dude's got to be absolutely no thinking when he's shooting. It just has to fly. And once he hesitated on the first one, I was like, all right, well, he's out for the rest of the game. I had no idea Jimmy was going to come back and make plays like the way he did, but I was just like, okay, it's down to Gabe and Caleb. That can't be a good strategy.
What a wild game.
Transition three, though. I thought that transition three, I thought was going in, though. I thought that was just going to be bottoms as soon as he caught it. I was like, oh God, how'd they leave him open? Just an unbelievable.
They knew. They knew. They knew he was out.
But this is also the same collapse the Celtics nearly had in Game 7 last year. Like it was almost identical in that sense, you know, it was except the fact that Miami never took a lead in that game, but you saw that collapse and the same thing happens here. They're up 10 in this game with like 4 minutes left. And they choked the lead away and just got lucky with Derek White.
They got, they just had 3/10 of a second that they needed. Yeah. Jay, this is the thing that I'm fascinated by is we have these two teams over the last 4 years. And now it's the third meeting in the conference finals, right? The series in the bubble was great, right? You know, you have Bam's dunk on or Bam's block on the Tatum dunk as like one of the defining moments and all this stuff. Then they meet last year. Jimmy Butler misses that three and they eke out a win. Now this is going to a game 7. Like we talk about all these other things. And granted, like Giannis in the middle of that won a title, right? And the Bucks have been really good. And we talked about the Nets and we talked about the Sixers and what can they do. But these two teams like own the Eastern Conference right now. And it's very fitting, as much as I wanted a sweep just to rub it in your face about Heat culture. I am legitimately glad that this has happened the way it has, because one, it's a fucking game seven. Two, history's on the line. Yeah. And three, I get to yell at anyone who's going to wonder who has more pressure. It's game seven going to the NBA finals. You win, you go to the NBA finals. No one has more pressure than the other. Like, everyone has an equal amount of pressure. It's so dumb. Like, that's going to be a talking point tomorrow. Or I guess Monday, whenever the hell this comes out. But Jay, like, these two teams own the East.
Yeah, and not only that, but every series they've played has just been
absurd.
War.
It's absurd basketball.
And it always comes down to like just a play. A play. The Bam block on Tatum. Last year, Butler's pull up. This year, maybe it's the White layup. Like, it just comes down to one play between two teams that are super tough and super committed. That was the most fun part of game six to me, was just the desperation on both sides. And Kyle Lowry has had nothing since the first half of game one in this series.
He really,
and that dude was pulling out nonsense just because he's a super competitor. Like that bucket he had over Jaylen Brown.
Oh, that was nuts, man.
It was the most man shit.
It was such a YMCA move, man.
I have ever seen.
It had no business going in. It had zero business falling. Like, I was watching this going, like, what are we doing here?
No, virtuosity's right. It had no business going in.
He had literally no prayer of getting an inch of separation between him and Jaylen Brown, and somehow was able to sneak a bucket over the top. But Lowry made plays. Jimmy summoned everything he had left over the last 4 minutes after struggling. Bam couldn't score, but had so many offensive rebounds.
Yeah, he was great on the boards, yeah.
The Celtics went 7-for-35, their worst shooting night of the season, and they haven't been able to win while missing threes all year and just dig one out. It was just two teams absolutely desperate, competitive as hell, and it was just such fun basketball.
Mode, are you concerned about how much Jimmy has struggled going into game seven? Like, maybe it's just not going to matter and he's just going to nut up and like game seven's going to be another great Jimmy performance, but he's not been good last couple of games.
He's got no legs. He had a dunk in the first quarter that he barely got
over
the rim.
That was a rim grazer, man. That was a power layup. That wasn't a dunk. Like,
yeah. No, it was like just barely. And it was one of those things that I don't know how much legs he has left. I think he gave everything he possibly could at the end of that game six. The three on the sideline, that was wild. And all the plays he was making and things like that. I don't know if he has any energy left for game seven. Like, that's more, it won't shock me. Cause again, I always think Jimmy's a bit of a psychopath, but I would just still don't know where it would come from. Like, Zach, like, you, the legs aren't going to get much better on Monday.
No.
After playing the game he just played, right? Like, they're flying on Sunday, play the game. And then it's like, it's not like there's anywhere where he gets to rest for 24 straight hours. Like, I don't know where he's going to get the juice.
He sat a minute 20 of that game. Like, and I would imagine,
can he even,
you might get a minute of rest
20 in game seven.
And you definitely cannot sit Bam, because Cody Zeller is barbecue chicken.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Dude. Oh. You can't play Duncan and Cody Zeller at the same time. Like, it just, that is... And Lowry, really. Cody's, like, those three together can't exist.
Cody Zeller was, minus surprised seven there was over no 221. And I was shocked it was as good as minus seven. Like, that could have been a 15 over.
It felt like minus 50.
Yeah.
But I was shocked there was no Highsmith. I thought he was good in game five for them. I thought he could have helped them a little bit in game six, and I would have avoided the Zeller minutes. Like, just play small at that point. But
I don't know if you could play that small. I don't know.
Yeah, that's super small.
That's pretty small.
You're playing Cody. You're playing Cody Zeller. You're better off playing four guys instead of five. Like, what?
It's funny that this is just keeps coming out of a frozen face. You really gotta watch it. You really gotta watch on YouTube. You gotta go to our page on YouTube, subscribe, because it's so distracting for me. I should be way more professional. I'm just so distracted by the bad internet. Why did you use dial-up today?
I thought change it up today. Let's kind of go old school, see what we got.
You know, because we got like an old school matchup. Yeah. Trey, if you're the Heat, you're going on the road. Everyone believes you're going to blow this. Even Heat fans are shaking, right? They're shook on Twitter. Like, they're not in a good place. They hate this team again. Trey, what do you think, like, the Heat? I think you have to obviously take away the 3-point line, because that's just where the Celtics kill you. But what, like, does anything change with the strategy? Because it kind of felt like they got lucky to be in that game last night.
They just got to play. They just got to play the game as if, like, there's no game tomorrow. You know what I mean? They got to kind of play the perfect game. And that's the thing about playing on the road, is because, like, you know, Jay can attest to, like, it's going to be loud. It's going to be unbearable. It's going to be some calls that might not feel like that's working in your favor that you normally get at the crib. Mm. You just got to leave it all out there. And I mean, I don't want to say Jimmy Butler is one of them players that doesn't have back-to-back bad games, but he's going to have to play a great game. You know what I mean? Like, his supporting cast is going to have to step it up. You know what I mean? Like, if you're hurt and you're still out there suiting up, you're going to have to play a good game. And I think the Celtics, they got all the confidence that they needed. After they got one, they were just like, all right, let's stop playing with these dudes. And it's always tough when you got the pressure of blowing it. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, that's another thing. You don't want – you. Everybody's saying, oh, Spo get fired after this, because, you know, it's just the copycat league. I don't think Spo's getting fired anyway. But
there'd be 29 teams offering him the head coaching job if that happens.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. But it's just hard to, you know, be known as that. And, you know, obviously they want to show up and deliver, but it just all depends on what team shows up and what shots are being made. Like, if Jimmy can play better and not go 4-for-20 or 5-for-21, whatever it was, I think that's going to be the key. That dude was so bad, like, so bad, that to a point where people were like, oh, you know, I was like, is he hurt? And somebody's like, don't do that. And I was like,
No, I legitimately had the same question, Trey.
I was like, it's a valid question. Yeah, he fell on his damn
jump.
Knee.
Yeah, like, Bam fell on him. Yeah. Like, I was like, all right, he can't jump. Like, he just flat out can't jump right now. Mm-hmm. You saw every play at the rim that he would normally jump into a guy, finish, and get a foul. Like, I mean, he wasn't even attempting it.
And also, there was one play where Derek White was back in transition, and that's the guy he hunted earlier in the series.
Yeah.
And he just circled it out. He's like, I didn't have it. I'm not going to try it right now. Mm-hmm. And that was a sign to me. He either was hurting, just gassed, or just thought like he didn't have it against the Celtics defense. That game was another part of it that was really fun. Both teams did such a great job at taking away what the other team does best.
Yes, absolutely.
The Celtics packed the paint and forced Bam and Jimmy to take tough twos, and the Heat ran the Celtics off the line and took away easy three-pointers and made them score from inside the arc. And it was like just just a game where you had to do the stuff you were bad at.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was really neat.
Yeah, I think with the coaching strategy, like, I don't know if this saved Joe Mazzulla's job. Like, he was going to get fired, I think, if they've gotten swept or lost in five or whatever. But they've been pretty good. Like, I know some of it is just shots falling. But, like, he's, to his credit, like, we made a lot of jokes, but Joe Mazzulla, like,
Top golf, bro. You're on the verge of elimination. Wait a second.
Trey, you were going to blame Top Golf, and now you're saying this is the savior.
Yes, man. Like, as Jared Weiss, athletic writer, you feel me, that covers the Boston Celtics alongside our wonderful Jay King. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like,
pretty wonderful.
Instead of being stressed out, we went stress free. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They came in relaxed. You know what? We need to bond more. We need to, you know, like, not focus on anything. We're trying to see who can have the highest score. You feel me? But at this point, they came in and it worked. I don't know if you should take your high school team to go golfing before a game.
I think it's a bad idea.
But at the end of the day, it worked for these boys and got them extra days.
They really might have just been practicing for their vacation.
Yeah.
Like, well, guys, thought they were done.
Statistically, only 2% of teams force a game seven. So let's get ready for the links.
We'll be out there next week. Might as well get some.
What if that was the strategy from Joe Mazzulla? It was like, well, you guys seem to want to go golfing, so let's go golfing. We're going to Top Golf. Like, it's just a sarcastic outing.
I'll show you it's not as fun as you think it will be. You're just going to be shaking bullshit all summer, guys.
Look, you guys all suck at golf. You're good at basketball. Go play fucking basketball better. Like, that's what you got to do.
That's ridiculous. It's so funny. The Mazzulla timeouts have gotten so much better. Like, the timing in which he calls them has been really important.
Oh, you mean like, actually using them?
A good sense of, yes. But, like, in the sense of, like, hey, they've gone on a run before we gave up a lead. Let's call it time. And I'm not talking about the last 2 minutes of that game where it was a complete disaster and a total meltdown. But just in general, every time he's called timeouts since game four, it has felt like the Celtics have gone on a run for the most part, or have gotten good actions out of it. Like, he's gotten better. It's weird, but he's gotten better in the series.
Yeah, Jay, I think Max Headroom has a good point there of just, like, the ability to use the timeouts to slow things. Look that one up, kids. To slow down those runs, because it felt like the Heat before just got to do whatever they want. There was no break in the rhythm. And in the last couple of games, not even just when the Celtics are going good, it feels like they're keeping the Heat out of a rhythm.
Yeah, and they've just dialed up the defensive intensity too. Like, this is last season's Boston defense again, and they haven't been that for the entire season, really. Like, it's come sometimes, but hardly ever. And now they're able to not just guard the shooters, but also send help to Jimmy and Bam and keep the paint congested on those guys and contest shots without fouling. They've just done a great job defensively. And the big part offensively, which I thought changed the series, was just more side-to-side ball movement. And they didn't have as much of that in game six. They kind of went away from that a bit in game six. I thought that their offensive process was actually pretty bad for a lot of the game. They forced things. They weren't patient enough. But you could tell over games four and five especially, it's like, pass the ball, make their help scramble, and then attack once the help is scrambled. And that was a huge, huge key for them. So I think Mazzulla has done a nice job. And also, after game three, they were, like, broken mentally, spiritually, like, that was a frustrated team.
Yeah.
That was so fed up with the way they were playing, the way the first three games had gone. And to recenter themselves after that is just so difficult. And yeah. Maybe it was Top Golf. Maybe it was
Might have been Top Golf. All right,
But Mazzulla deserves a lot of credit for getting them to pull out of that.
Absolutely.
And come back together.
All right, so going into game seven, Mo, what do you think is the key for each team in game seven. Like one thing for each.
I mean, it's better offensive process for Boston, as Jay was saying. Like, I didn't like their offense for the most part in game six. And for Miami side, finding a way to just help Jimmy Butler. And the role players are going to have another unbelievable game, and Jimmy's got to be.
They've been unreal, man.
Finding a way to dig deep. They've been great. They carried them in this game six, but like
Caleb Martin's the best.
Jimmy new legs.
Caleb Martin's the best non-rookie deal in the league. Like
Caleb Martin is a god.
Yeah,
he is a god.
He's legitimately good. It makes me wonder, Cody Martin, the fuck? Like
somebody's signing Cody Martin right now.
somebody's bringing him in though. Yeah, just like well, just I don't know.
See.
His brother's doing
hey,
it. Like,
maybe you got it. You know, like somebody's doing it.
Trey, what do you think is a key for both teams Monday night game seven?
So the key for Boston is just to come out hot and put them to bed early. Mm-hmm. Like don't even play with their food. Just get it done early on. You look up, it's 33-10. Like that's how they got to kind of take care of business. Miami, look, you got to just every loose ball, every, you know what I mean? Like box, like over stuff, like get a ball. Jimmy going to have to get a lot of shot attempts. Bam's going to have to play a better game. Those guys who have been, you know, overachieving or whatever it is, they're like the Vincents, the Robinsons, you know what I mean? Those guys need to make shots. They need to be super effective. Kyle Lowry's going to have to give some, you know, even more. Like I said, this is one of those things. And the pressure's on them because it's not on Boston. Boston, they're at home, cool. I mean, well, you're right a little bit. It's the pressure on both. I mean, the idea that they got home court advantage and this team is about to blow a 3-0 lead. They both pressured, but at the end of the day, it's only one winner. So you got to, you know, these are the ways of you hope that it works in your favor. You hope that your shot's falling. But at the end of the day, I think it's going to be I don't think it's going to be close.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
I think it's gonna be out of reach. Yeah.
Wow.
Because this is the thing. Not saying it's a blowout for Boston either, because it might be the Heat. It just depends what team shows up.
Yeah.
Because if they start shooting bad, then Boston gonna run it up.
Yeah.
They're gonna win by like 12. Or Boston just making everything and then they up by 22 and then probably win by like 9. You know what I mean? Like, it's just it's just weird. So it's just like, you know, nobody's safe in this particular situation. I don't see it going. Who I would like to see win, if I have to pick, I would like to see the Boston Celtics, because it'd be more, you know, they got, I feel like it lines to be up the first, as far as team.
Yeah, and to be the first team to be the 0-3 comeback, you know.
That too, but then also from a Miami Heat perspective, if they were to so happen to get Tyler Hero, then I would be like, okay, I want to see this. But like with no Tyler Hero and them being kind of banged up,
it might be a quick finals.
Yeah, it'll be a quick one. You know what I'm saying? I don't really enjoy that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I actually want to watch a competitive finals. You know what I mean? Like, not saying that Miami Heat haven't been competing. They've been competing with what they've had. They've turned water into wine. But for the finals, I don't like that matchup for them.
We should also note, this is the first time the Game 7 is played at home for the team that was down 0-3. Yeah. Like all the other times, it was, you know, the underdog made the comeback. And then in this case here, it was the underdog also took the 3-0 lead.
Also, none of these have happened in the Facebook era. So like that, like the, I don't know how much we're going to lead Rochester versus the Knicks.
I get that. But also, like, normally in this situation, it's Boston would be the team that had gone 3-0, and it's the underdogs that make the comeback. This is kind of what made this whole situation weird, you know, and Boston's going to have home court. This is, I don't know if we're ever going to see that again.
Jay, what's the key for each team?
The Celtics need to force turnovers. Their ability to force turnovers in games 4 and 5 was a huge key to creating their offensive pace, their offensive space, all the 3-point attempts they were able to get up. The Heat only had 5 turnovers in game 6.
Yeah.
They were able to take care of the ball. Some of the stats they had, like, it's crazy they didn't win that game. They had 5 turnovers compared to 12 for the Celtics. They had 17 offensive rebounds compared to 12 for the Celtics. And they shot 40-some-odd% from 3 while the Celtics went 7 for 35 and hit 7 more threes than the Celtics. It was almost impossible for them to lose that game with those 3 stats. So I just think the Celtics need to force some turnovers, get out in transition. If they do that in TD Garden, that place is going to go nuts. And if that place goes nuts, it's going to be tough for the Heat to withstand that, even though I expect Jimmy Butler to play a lot better. I remember last year in the series against the Celtics, in the middle of that series, he hurt his knee. He was looking like he didn't have much left. And then all of a sudden he was scoring 40 something points and totally dominant. And that's just kind of what Jimmy Butler does.
That's what he does. Yeah.
Game 7, he's going to be hell.
All right. Mo, who wins?
Boston.
Jay, who wins?
Boston.
Trey, who wins?
Boston.
There you go.
Say it louder. Say it with your chest.
Heat culture. No one's ever done it. I refuse to believe that a comeback is going to happen until I actually see it. And you know what? You know who's going to do this? You know who's going to do this? 30 points from Kyle Lowry. That felt weird to say.
You don't even believe that.
But Kyle Lowry over everything, motherfuckers. Thank you for listening. For Trey, for Jay, for the fax machine that Mo Dakhils used to connect to us via Zoom. For Dave DeFore, I'm Zach. Keep it locked on The Athletic. Enjoy Game 7.